So the other night, I was joined by my lovely wife and Dr. Beals and his lovely wife, and we went and saw the movie. Now, Frields, full disclosure, the audience, our listeners need to know this. You did know when we were going to see this. So it was not a surprise to you.
No, there was no surprise. I
That's right.
fully intended on joining you guys, and then my wife, because she loves me dearly, bought us tickets to the Kings game. So
Did they win or lose?
they won.
Oh,
So
well,
nice.
hey, there you go. So
It
it was a
was
nice, well,
they
again.
clinched the playoffs that night. So it was
Oh, wow.
well worth the time.
For all
So
two people that care about hockey, that's awesome.
there's three of
Yeah.
us. Thank you very
Dude,
much.
That's funny.
but
Well,
here's the crazy thing. So
I
here's the
did save
crazy
you a
thing.
seat in between us.
That
Oh,
he's totally he's
awesome.
not lying, by the way. There was an honorary in memory of chair in between us.
In memoriam.
Yeah, in memoriam. Yeah, we played a whole song, everything beforehand. In the arms of an angel, we sang, and
And we got
can I
$0.25
just say
cents
about
donated.
the seat choice, how critical that is in movies? So a few the last movie we went to go see, which I can't remember which one was what it was before this one. I went and we selected the seats. There was lots of room in the theater, right? So me and my lovely wife sit down, and sure enough, two people come sit right next to us. It wasn't like it was packed and they
I
had no
don't
other choice.
understand that. Why do people do
I
that?
know. Like, at least give
Like,
me a
you
seat.
see on the map that that seat's taken. There's all these other seats. Don't be a stinking weirdo and go. I don't get that, dude. But okay, so but I
Know,
have to
that's
tell you about
almost as bad as going to the movies by yourself.
this.
It's
I was telling
worse if
Jason,
you go by
I've gotten a
yourself
lot of texts. I've gotten
next
a
to
lot
somebody
of texts
else.
from people saying,
I know
"Well,
all
I don't
five
mind
people
going
that
to."
listen to us have been
That's
up in
right. All
arms.
five people that listen to our five listeners, two of which are my family members.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
must
you're
say, Matt Green's family, please forgive me. I am not meant to offend you every time I speak.
So listen to this. We go to dinner afterwards. We're sitting outside at this restaurant, and as we're sitting there eating, Finn Wolfhard walks right by us. Yeah.
Oh.
Stranger Things, Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah.
And so he was there. I'm gonna be really honest, and I'm not worried because I'm sure he does not listen to this podcast. Of all the things he's got on his schedule, I'm sure real profs ain't it. But his friend looked like a homeless dude. I'm not gonna lie. He had like a weird blanket shawl on. I don't know what was going on, but you know, hey, when you're Hollywood, you can do that kind of stuff.
It's
You know,
like when
so
you and Frields were in high school.
that's right. I was dressing up.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
I see dead people.
Hasta la vista, baby.
You can't handle the truth.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Okay, so this week's movie is Civil War, Alex Garland's latest film. A lot going on in this movie. It's full disclosure up front. It is rated R. It's rated R for a lot of language and some graphic violence. And so we just want our viewers to be aware of that as we discuss the film. The film, again, go watch the trailer. It pretty much sets up everything that there is a new civil war in the US. Sides have been drawn, and there is kind of a dictatorship running DC, and it's a lot of strife and all this kind of stuff. And so you have these two sides, and then in the middle of it, you have journalists, and which I think is an interesting social commentary because in today's society, we have a lot of strife, a lot of, you know, polarization on both sides, and yet journalism doesn't seem like the bastion of truth that it used to be. And whether it was really ever that, I don't know. But nowadays, it seems like even the journalists have sides. And in this movie, the idea is the journalists are just there to document things. And so they're allowed to kind of go in between and document. So let's kind of talk about the movie, fellas, and kind of get into it. What are some things that kind of stuck out to you in regards to this film?
Yeah, I think sorry.
No, you
No,
go, Dr. Beals.
Frields, you know how this works, okay?
I do. I don't know
Yes,
why what I was
you
doing.
come in the second half,
Yes.
and raise your hand first, and
Yes.
then
No, I think Matt needs to go,
yeah, Frields,
please.
you get okay. We'll change it up this time. So,
So
folks,
just
if you're
you he'll
curious, this
just
is the
edit me
time.
till later.
Yeah, I'll just throw them at the end. Or you can go get your drinks right now if you need to use the restroom. This would be a good chance to go do that. Frields, your turn. Go for it.
There's two things that I noticed in this film that really, like, as I left the theater, I was like, wow, pretty intriguing, which was, number one, the lack of religion. There was no, at least I didn't catch, and I could be dead wrong on this, there wasn't any overt discussion of religion. And the other thing, obviously, was identity, was another huge, huge thing to me that I picked up on, you know, because they asked the question about who are you, you know, what kind of American are you, those kind of, you know, that was something that was really kind of.
So when you say identity, like who you, what, how do you identify yourself in the world? Yes, right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. So those are two kind of big things that I thought was interesting. Just because as you look at a lot of wars, as they tend to happen, religion is one of the core things, especially recently, right? In recent years, when I say that, recent years, last 20, 30 years, but also just identity. Identity is becoming a big thing within our culture, but also just this political identity. And I didn't even notice really necessarily a political identity in this film either. So I thought that was intriguing.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there was a strong push to show the journalistic integrity that does not manipulate the visceral bare bones truth, right? Mm-hmm. It was the, like, this is the gritty side. And I would say the Civil War is not so much about politics. Mm-hmm. It's not so much about there was no clear-cut reason for the Civil War given. There's not much data on either side for you to want to root or root against. There was not much given for that. And I think that was purposeful to try to show more of the a commentary on journalism than it was on actual war. That's how it kind of came across. There was no political discussion outside of a few nuggets that I would say that, you know, and I think the director purposely, at least it seemed to me, that he purposely tried to tone down any of the details to kind of make it not about the left versus the right kind of idea. And I think you see that by California and Texas joining up together to fight, right? That two states that seem to be at odds ideologically have joined up to tackle the fascist president who disbanded the FBI and who had drone strikes on Americans. Those were the things that I noticed. And so it was interesting to be in a movie that I expected more political ideology, and really I expected to be pushed one way or the other in it. And it was so I left going, I don't even know who to, like, I didn't even care about, like, what side, because they didn't give me anything to care for.
Yeah, you're definitely not in there either rooting for one side or the other. As Jason has said, the typical rhetoric that we would see in one of these films is non-existent. And so I do think from a good standpoint, from what's noble and stuff, the idea of holding, of trying as journalists, just present the facts and be truthful as opposed to manipulate the facts is something that's really, that's okay, good. That's honorable. I think one of the things that the film does that really stuck out to me is the lack of care and sanctity of life.
Yes.
And because you see people get killed, and the journalists, the photographers are there, and it's all about getting the shot. Now, Kirsten Dunst's character does say something in the beginning. We see this montage of her taking all these photos at these atrocities and these killings around the world, and she makes a comment in regards to she took the photos in the hopes of trying to stop this in the future, but then proceeds to, the whole journey of this film is them to get to the president before he's captured and killed, and they will do that at any cost just for the sake of being able to get it. You're never instructed or told why they wanted it. It's never to say, well, we want to get this so that we can, you know, stop the next time or stop the next dictator or anything like that. It's just because we've got to get this photo at all costs. And you see people get killed along the way, and it's just like, next man up. Okay, we're just moving along. Take the photo, moving on. There's a very kind of big scene near a gas station where a couple guys are hung, still alive, hanging, and she gets there, and she basically just, you know, kind of looks and has some people stand there so she can take a photo. And it says, it's almost their props. They're not even human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously, so that's super, you know, just going back to Genesis, you know, one, we know that we are made in God's image. And so we are to, because of that, have a appreciation and a understanding and respect human life and dignity. And that is non-existent in this film.
One of the things that going on her character, Kirsten Dunst's character, what is intriguing is
it's Kirsten. Kirsten
Dunst. Droopy eyes, as I like to call her.
Wow, droopy eyes, huh?
Yes. If you look at her in every movie, she's just got these really droopy, depressed eyes. So that's why she plays good, depressed characters like this one.
Okay. Yeah.
Is towards the end of the film or at the end of the film, you see the effect of all that she has seen, right? Because there was more than just before the Civil War started, because it kind of works throughout her career and all the evil that she's seen. And towards the end there, as they're going from, you know, battle to battle, you know, section to section through, as they're charging the White House or where the president was, you see her start having panic attacks and anxiety. And she kind of gets lost, and you could tell it all had kind of worn her down, you know, seeing just tragedy after tragedy, because they kind of did some flashbacks, and it just, you could tell it hit her, you know, all the evil that she was seeing and what she was currently seeing, or at least that's how I perceived it.
There was a clear nihilistic, meaningless, pointless agenda in the movie. There was an absence of any kind of religious thought, any kind of morality. There was zero empathy on killing. No one was impacted by the brutality of warfare, outside of the young girl at the beginning and then Kirsten's character at the end. That even emotion seemed to be more of like, there was more about adrenaline than there was about empathy and care for people, so much so that, you know, that there was like a very clear part in the movie that they wanted to communicate. And it was Kirsten talking to the younger girl and basically insinuating that if she gets shot, that the older, the Kirsten, would take the picture to use it, to promote it, to be the to be her iconic whatever, right? And so, you know, it's like at the expense of someone's death. And then one of the characters dies, and Kirsten has a photograph of him in his vulnerable, like he's dead. And she deletes it. And then at the end of the movie, you see that, you know, that somebody dies. And I don't want to give the ending of the movie away in case somebody wants to see it. But where there was no care for the death of one of the main characters at all. It was just a shot taken, you know, on the way to get the picture of the president being murdered. Like he didn't even stand trial. It was so everybody just was like, there's no moral.
That's right. Absolute. No moral compass.
They just lacked any kind of care, compassion, thoughts of these are image bearers. And I think that really does show you that when you remove the biblical anthropology of the image bearers, that you treat them like they're just mass clumps of cells. Mm-hmm. Much like the abortion issue, when you remove the humanness of the fetus, you just treat it as something that's disposable. And I think that's what this movie showed, was when humans treat what God has created as something as indifferent, when they're indifferent to it, apathetic towards, suffering and just disposable. It just was really sad to see a lot of the aspects of how humans would so callously destroy another life.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Like, is there value then in showing, hey, here's what happens? Because we talk a lot about in America, you know, people are like, well, you know, God's being removed from everything. Is there value in a movie like this? Even if that's maybe not, they're not thinking it from that perspective, but we see that, right? To be able to use that as an example. Hey, here's a potential path. Now, will it be exactly like this? No. But here's what it looks like when people don't honor and respect the fact that we are made in the image of God and remove all forms of that kind of understanding.
I think 100%. I think that's why when you go to Israel and you go to the Holocaust memorial and exhibits, and you see the depths of the depravity of man on full display. And that was motivated by clear hatred, but also by seeing Jewish people as less than human, seeing them as inferior, and really not seeing them as image bearers, and what people would do to that. And I think that is every time you watch or look at or go through those things, and being in Germany when we did a Reformation trip and going to one of the camps, and seeing the people that would have been executed in those camps, it hits you very hard, and it hits it reminds you of why understanding the world through the lens of Scripture matters, why having a right anthropology matters, why understanding depravity matters. I don't know if I would recommend the movie. I think it was too many choice, unsavory terms, words. But I think when you watch that, I think it's helpful to think through it from a biblical grid of this is what it's going to look like when people disregard how God has made us in His image.
Thank you for listening to Real Profs, a production of the Center for Thinking Biblically. To support this ministry, please visit thinkbiblically.org/donate. To learn more about the Masters University on-campus and online undergraduate and graduate programs, visit masters.edu.